This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. And we bring in my great pal, Kevin Hassett, former chairman of the Council of Economic Advisors, distinguished visiting fellow at the Hoover Institution, and author of The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. I call it the most important book of the 21st century, Stopping Socialism. Anyway, Kevin, thank you for doing this. We appreciate it. And I wanted to begin with your recent article in the National Review, The Fed Should Go Back Behind the Wizard of Oz's Curtain. And the subheading is, The Fed's Poor Record of Forecasting Economic Conditions Demonstrates That It Shouldn't Publish Forecasts at All. You know, Kevin, I remember back in the days of Paul Volcker, who used to go when he was Fed chair, and he used to go before Congress, and he would puff those cigars and sort of blow smoke at the senators, and he would basically say nothing, give up nothing. And he believed in the element of surprise, and he didn't want to tell people everything about it. And so what you're saying here is, in the last 30, 40 years, they now try to tell people everything, and they're always wrong. Maybe they should tell them nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the extent to which they've been wrong is actually, like, as I talk about in the article, kind of theoretically interesting in the following sense. The Fed has to sort of take expectations about future inflation and, what they say, anchor them. And so they're always forecasting that inflation a year from now is going to go back to 2%. And they do that because, not that they believe it, I think, but because they're lying to people hoping to anchor their expectations. And that inherent conflict means that their forecasts are just necessarily going to be awful, unless you're at a time when inflation is always 2%. And so I think they should just stop, because imagine, you know, if economic decision makers are looking at the Fed forecasts and deciding whether to buy a house or to get a mortgage now or, you know, to buy a car, then they're being misled, and it's really harming people. And so I think that this idea that the Fed knows what it's doing and that its forecasts are good is something that we should give up. And I think they should stop publishing them, because the inherent conflict between anchoring expectations and then giving an accurate forecast is something that's not really resolvable, I don't think.
Well, you write that baseball would never consider a rule that required the pitcher to announce the type of pitch before each throw. The Fed should stop publishing its forecasts and go back behind the curtain. I mean, why are their forecasts so wrong? You mentioned this Mickey Levy paper. I know Mickey long time. Why is it? I mean, they've got a lot of professional economists on the staff, not only in Washington, but around the system. What is it? Why do they get it wrong? I mean, they got inflation badly, badly wrong.
Right. Well, I think that there are two things. One is they might really be lying. Right. So they might actually know that what they're saying is false, but they want to try to affect expectations with their forecast. But the other thing is that if you look at the Fed economists, they're kind of all, or most of them, trained at like Harvard and MIT, which are places that really focus on Keynesian macroeconomics when they teach it, right? And so in economics, they have this thing called like the saltwater schools or the freshwater schools. And the freshwater schools, like the University of Chicago, are the places that believe in supply-side economics and free markets. But everybody who's an economist at the Fed is basically trained by the socialists at Harvard.
Why is that? I mean, you know, Jay Powell, who served in a Republican administration, ought to know better. Why is that?
Well, I think that what happens is that in the end, the staff recruits the young people that join the staff, and they tend to, you know, favor people to come from their schools. I know that Jay really thought that Rich Clarida could come in and shake things up a little bit, and I know you and I both have a very high regard for Rich, but I think that, as you know, these bureaucratic places are so impossible to change that I don't think Rich really did much to it.
And I mean, the other option is they know they're wrong, but they're trying to influence expectations to cover up that they're wrong. I mean, that's a possibility. I don't mean to be overly cynical. Look, I started my entire career at the New York Fed in open market operations, so I'm an alumnus of the Fed system. You worked for the Federal Reserve in Washington for quite some time. I mean, so, you know, we don't have any institutional reasons to slam the Fed. It's just that their performance is so disappointing, and it just seems like it happens time and time again.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, though, is that don't forget that it's a really, really liberal institution, and an example of it is that I went to the Jackson Hole Conference last summer, which you might recall is the sort of big powwow for all the Fed economists and policymakers in the country, and I think I was the only conservative there. Like, no kidding, you know, hundreds of people, but maybe there was another conservative there, but I don't think I remember them being there. And there are just all these people that, you know, work in Democratic administrations to go back to the Fed and believe in Keynesian economics, don't think the supply side matters. And that's why they got inflation wrong and why they get things wrong. But it also could be that they're being disingenuous about the forecast.
So I agree. You know, I had the same experience. For years, I went to that conference. For years. You know, back in when Manley Johnson and Wayne Angel were on the board, and then Greenspan became the chair, and Alan was a friend. And in fact, I spoke on a couple panels. And I remember at some point, I don't know, the mid or late 90s, Kevin, I went and looked around and had the same experience that all the conservatives were gone. And I felt very lonely, and I just stopped going. I mean, I just wouldn't go anymore. So I guess you're right. There's a very
liberal bias. And I went last year, but I haven't been invited back this year. So I think we kind of know what happened. But it is true that last year when I was there, I was very aggressive about saying that they were behind the curve on inflation.
Yeah.
And I think that now they know that, so maybe they don't need me this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think they do need you. You know, you'd make a very good Fed chairman, Kevin Hassett. You really would. You'd make a hell of a good Fed chairman. Kevin, you sent this other paper to me this morning, another National Review article, where tax cuts are hot. I wanted to talk about that for a second, because you've got all these states moving towards flat tax type, you know, lower tax rates, broader tax bases. You mentioned Iowa, Mississippi, Georgia, Arizona, Idaho. Then you mentioned, let's see, currently 7 states don't have any individual income taxes: Alaska, Florida, Nevada, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and Wyoming.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify POS has everything you need to sell in person. Go to shopify.com/system, all lowercase, to take your retail business to the next level today. That's shopify.com/system.
We did a piece, a segment last night on the Fox Business Show, a Bloomberg article, Kevin. I guess 5 or 6 southern states, so let me get this right, Texas, Florida, Georgia, the 2 Carolinas, and Tennessee now have a bigger GDP than all of the Northeast. Okay, so the red states in the South have a bigger GDP than all of the blue states in the Northeast. And Rick Perry came on and he said, look, it's lower taxes and regulations. And you're saying in this, or this article is saying by Dominic Pino, that more is coming. More state tax cuts are coming.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, just for the listeners, you know, Dominic Pino is this young kid who's really, really like supply side economist who's like going to be a big future intellectual leader in our country. Mm. And if you go read his stuff at National Review, you're going to find that, you know, Rich Lowry and the team, once again, they found somebody out in the wilderness that's a conservative. And so Dominic just went and looked at all the states and found that basically, you know, moderates even in the states are doing like Kudlow, Steve Moore, in Forbes' agenda. They're cutting taxes and watching growth skyrocket. And I think the difference between the federal government and the state governments is the states are competing with each other, except for the blue states, right, which are hemorrhaging people. But they're competing with each other for the location of factories and for citizens even. And because they're competing with each other, then they're forced to pursue efficient policies. And if they don't, then like California, they hemorrhage businesses and hemorrhage citizens. Yeah. And so that's why states eventually have to cut taxes, because if they don't, then they're not going to have any new factories in their states.
All right. Kevin has it. Read Kevin's book, folks. It's called The Drift, Stopping America's Slide to Socialism. Kevin, I'm going to work on this. Hassett for Federal Reserve Chairman. I like this. All right. Thanks very much for your time. Folks, I'm Kudlow. We're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the break, distinguished physicist and climate expert Steve Koonin tells us why a slight increase in temperatures have no impact virtually on GDP. I'm Kudlow. We'll be right back.
Larry Kudlow,